Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Home Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope it is a great morning wherever you're listening in from. And I want to thank you for tuning in to Home Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. It's truly listener-supported radio, and we thank you, those who have chosen to be part of our listening audience. And we've had over 70,000 people who have listened to a show here on Home Based Business 101 on Blog Talk Radio. And what we're going to discuss today is a very, very powerful book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. This is a great book, especially for those of us that are home-based business owners, because we need to understand these 13 principles of how to get people to think, getting people to your way of thinking. Because that's what you ultimately want to be able to do, to close a sale, close a deal, whatever the transaction is that you want to get people to your way of thinking. So there's 13 principles that he lays out in this book to help you do that. And the first principle is the only way to get the best of an argument is to avoid it. Let's look at how he breaks this down. The only way to get the best of an argument is to avoid it. And so he has some things that he goes through. And he says, in an article in Bits and Pieces, some suggestions are made on how to keep a disagreement from becoming an argument. First, welcome disagreement. Remember the slogan, when two partners always agree, one of them is not necessary. If there's some point you haven't thought about, be thankful if it is brought to your attention. Perhaps this disagreement is your opportunity to be corrected before you make a serious mistake. So in other words, think about what you haven't thought about. Just distrust your first instinctive impression. Our first natural reaction in a disagreeable situation is to be defensive. Be careful. Keep calm and watch out for your first reaction. It may be you at your worst, not your best. You know, and that's important. I mean, you know, because a lot of times somebody will say something, you know, and we have an instinctive impression based on our worldview, based on things of how we do things. And when you're trying to deal with someone, especially from a business point of view, it's not how we do things, it's how the client is going to do what they do as you guide them through the process. It's just like a lot of times I have people who say they want something. I begin to put the goods and services together for them, only to find out later that they really did not have what they led me to believe that they had. And a lot of times, you know, I'm angry because they had agreed to something. I'm looking for them to pay me $500. You know, we grew up, I'm just sharing the last situation I had that was kind of, you know, a bad situation. I didn't get into an argument about it with the person, but person agreed for some services that they needed, and you know, we came to a conclusion about what the price would be, what the overall price would be, which was going to be a certain amount of money. They paid the retainer fee, but only for me to find out after I did the first leg of work for them that they did not have the money that they thought they were going to have, or figured they were going to have, or wherever they were going to be getting it from, to pay for the full services. I wish I had known that up front, then I would have had approached the situation differently, but I didn't. But I didn't get into an argument with them about it. I just said, you know, if you decide you need my services, you know what the price is, get your money together, but I cannot help you with anything else beyond this point because you don't have the money to pay for my services. So that cost me a $400 loss in potential cash flow. So I mean, I had to recoup it, you know, in another way, form, or fashion. But, you know, but my first instinct when the person first came to me was that this person that came to me before didn't follow through. Maybe things are different now, and they're going to be able to follow through. So I gave them the benefit of the doubt. And I'm learning as I go that, you know, there's a better way to approach some of these situations, and I'm working on how to do that. The next thing you need to do is make sure you control your temper. Remember, you can measure the size of a person by what makes him or her angry. So you have to learn how to control your temper, you know, which can be difficult at times because, you know, you do something, I'm looking for something, a person makes a commitment, they don't keep it, you know, it upsets you. And not only because it upsets you, but because it also triggers other things that you had made commitments to that you can't keep now because somebody else didn't keep commitment to you, so you're angry. But you have to learn how to control that. Listen first. Give your opponents a chance to talk. Let them finish. Do not resist, defend, or debate. This only raises barriers. Try to build bridges of understanding. Don't build higher barriers of misunderstanding. Once there's a misunderstanding, try to build a bridge that can get you back to understanding what you should be doing. Look for areas of agreement. When you have heard your opponent out, dwell first on the points and areas on which you agree. See, so we look to be in agreement first, you know. It's like we have a thing that we do in the organization I belong to is that when we're having discussion with one another, if someone makes a point, you might not agree with that point, but what we do is we say, in appreciation of what you said, Bill, if I understand you correctly, because you want to make sure you understand the person correctly, the person is more important than the point. That's the most important thing to get out of this, is that the person is more important than the point. Make sure you understand the point correctly, but the person is more important than the point. You know, you don't, like I told the person, the situation that I'm dealing with, hey, we still can be friends, we just need to know how we're going to do business. See, I don't have nothing against them still wanting to be a friend, you know, a young person, because they still going to need mentoring, guidance, and counseling. But we have to discuss realistically in the future how are we going to do business and what is going to be the terms of agreement. So you want to look for areas of agreement, you know, and make sure that you understand the person. Be honest. Look for areas where you can admit error and say so. Apologize for your mistakes. It will help disarm your opponent and reduce defensiveness. And one of the things that I have to start doing, a friend of mine has shared with me, especially since I provide service in the area of personal services, is I have to charge people whatever the fee is going to be. I got to charge them that up front so that they can pay for the full amount of services up front. That way, when I collect money from them, I know I have all the money that I need based on what I'm going to services I'm going to render for them and to the bills or the things or obligations that I have to pay so that I'm not left holding the bag. Promise to think over your opponent's ideas and study them carefully and mean it. Your opponent may be right. It is a lot easier at this stage to agree to think about their points than to move rapidly ahead and find yourself in a position where your opponent can say, we tried to tell you, but you wouldn't listen. So make sure in every situation that you're dealing with that you understand what the other person is saying, you know, because you don't want them to come back and say, I tried to tell you, but you wouldn't listen. Thank your opponent's sincerity for their interest. Anyone who takes the time to disagree with you is interested in some same things you are. Think of them as people who really want to help you. You may turn your opponent into friends. This is really, really good, right? He says, thank your opponent sincerely for their interests. Anyone who takes the time to disagree with you is interested in saying things you are. Think of them as people who really want to help you, and you may turn your opponents into friends. Okay, he says, next, postpone action to give both sides time to think through the problem. Suggest that a new meeting be held later that day or the next day when all the facts may be brought to bear in preparing for this meeting. Ask yourself some hard questions. Could my opponents be right, partially right? Is there truth or merit in their position or argument? Is my reaction one that will relieve the problem or one that will just relieve any frustration? Will my reaction drive my opponents further away or draw them closer to me? Will my reaction elevate the estimation good people have of me? In other words, will it be an estimation of what good people think of you? Will I win or lose? What price will I have to pay if I win? If I'm quiet about it, will the disagreement blow over? Is this difficult situation an opportunity for me? Well, that's what you want to do. But remember, the best way to avoid an argument, the only way and the best way to avoid an argument is to avoid it. Okay, we want to go to the next principle, which is show respect for the other person's opinions. Never say you're wrong. All right, and this is another good principle right here. He says, show respect. Let me repeat that again. Okay. Lost my page here. Hold on. Excuse me. Bear with me a second here. All right, here we go. Show respect for the other person's opinion. Never say you're wrong. You want to show respect, like I said, you know, in appreciation of what you said, Bill, if I understand you correctly, you said, and you repeat what they said, show respect for what they said. You know, you don't want to tell them that they're wrong. You might say, well, I have another way of looking at that. Or, I thought about what you said, Bill. Before I found out about such and such, I used to feel the same way. And then you can share with them, you know, where it is that you might differ from their way of thinking. But the most important thing is you want to show respect for their opinion. Showing respect for their opinion. This is very, very important. See, when you tell somebody you're wrong, you put them on the defensive, and now they have to respond to you saying that they're wrong to prove that they're right. Where if you just say, well, you know, I used to look at that the same way. I don't see it quite that way. I see it a little bit different. That's a whole lot better than saying wrong. Or some people say, you're wrong, you're stupid, you're dumb. You know, how's that going to win that person over? Not going to win them over. It's going to just drive them further away because now they have to prove that not only they're not wrong, they have to prove to you that they're not stupid, that they're not dumb. So you don't want to go down that road. All right. Next is, if you are wrong, admit it quickly and emphatically. If you're wrong about something, you know, hey, you got to be able to be a strong enough person to be able to say, hey, you know what? I thought about, you know, what you said, and I come to the conclusion that, you know, hey, that my opinion wasn't totally correct, you know, and I thank you for pointing out to me such and such and so and so. And, you know, I apologize for being wrong and And he used an example where he, in the book here, Dale Carnegie writes about the time when he went to an area and he had his dog with him, and he took his dog off the leash. And one day he encountered a mounted policeman in the park, a policeman itching to show his authority. "What do you mean by letting that dog run loose in the park without a muzzle on the leash?" he reprimanded me. "Don't you know it's against the law?" "Yes, I know it is," I replied softly. "But I didn't think he would do any harm out here." You didn't think. The law doesn't give a thinker's damn about what you think. The dog might kill a squirrel, bite a child. Now I'm going to let you off this time. But if I catch you, this dog out here again without a muzzle and a leash, you'll have to tell it to the judge. I meekly promised to obey, and I did obey for a few times. But Rex didn't like the muzzle, and neither did I. So we decided to take a chance. Everything was lovely for a while, and then we struck a snag. Rex and I raced through the brow over a hill one afternoon, and then suddenly, to my dismay, I saw the mounted policeman of the law again, astride a bay on a horse. Rex was out in front, heading straight for the officer. I was in for it. I knew it. So I didn't wait until the policeman started talking. I beat him to it. I said, "Officer, you caught me red-handed. I'm guilty. I have no alibis, no excuses. You warned me last week that if I brought the dog out here again without a muzzle, you would find me." "Well, now," the policeman responded in a soft tone, "I know it's a temptation to let the little dog like that have fun and run out here when nobody's around." "It sure is a temptation," I replied, "but it's against the law." "Well, a little dog like that isn't going to harm anybody," the policeman resounded. "No, but he might kill squirrels," I said. "Well, now, I think you are taking this a bit too seriously," he told me. "I tell you what you do. You just let him run over there hill where I can't see him, and we'll forget all about it." That policeman, being human, wanted a feeling of importance. So when I began to condone myself, the only way he could nourish his self-esteem was to take the magnificent attitude of showing mercy. "But suppose I had tried to defend myself." "Well, did you ever argue with a policeman?" "But instead of breaking lances with him, I admitted that he was absolutely right and I was absolutely wrong. I admitted it quickly, openly, and with enthusiasm. The affair terminated graciously in my taking his side and his taking my side." Again, he says, when you're wrong, and he's used that example to explain when he was wrong about something and how he dealt with that wrong situation. So, you know, if you're wrong and you did something, you know, admit it. You know, which is tough a lot of times because ego gets in the way, pride gets in the way. A lot of times we don't like to admit when we're wrong. And I can bear witness to that. Whatever you're doing with somebody, begin it in a friendly way. See, people can tell, especially those of us that's in business, and, you know, primary business, what we're doing, we're selling something. People can tell if you're just trying to sell them something or if you genuinely care. If you genuinely care, you know, you're going to be friendly, you're going to be bubbly. And it's that cheerfulness, that bubbliness, that friendliness that you share with them that comes out is what's going to attract them to you. All right, I want to get to the next principle, which is get the other person saying yes, yes, immediately. Okay. Go back into his examples that he used. In talking with people, don't begin with discussing the things on which you differ. Begin by emphasizing and keeping emphasis the things which you agree. Keep emphasizing, if possible, that you are both striving for the same end and that your only difference is one method and not a purpose. Get the other person saying yes, yes at the outset. Keep your opponent, if possible, from saying no. A no response, according to Professor Overstreet, is a most difficult handicap to overcome. When you say no, all your pride or personality demands that you remain consistent with yourself. You may later feel that the no was ill-advised. Nevertheless, there is your precious pride is considered. Once having said a thing, you feel you must stick to it. Hence, it is very greatness of importance that a person be started in an affirmation direction. So you want to talk about what you agree about, so that way as you begin to share information, is that you don't disagree with the person. If you're agreeing with them, they're agreeing with you, you just might be showing them a different method to get to the desired result. And so that's how you want to get people saying yes. You get them saying yes, yes, to things that you're talking about, then what happens is you move through the situation, if you're doing a presentation and other stuff, to the point that they'll be able to say yes about your idea. Let the other person do a great deal of talking. And this is very, very important. If you let people tell you in the sales process, if you let the person talk long enough, they'll tell you how to close them. So you got to know how to be a good listener and listen to what they're telling you. And when you listen to what they're telling you, then you'll figure out how to close them, because they'll tell you what their hot button is. But you got to listen long enough to hear it. Let the other person feel that the idea is his or hers. Let them take ownership of the idea when it's time to close. Because then, you know, they're going to keep the product or the program or whatever it is that you have that you're offering them. Let that person feel that the idea is theirs. You know, let them say something like, I'm in the travel business. So let the person say, you know what? I've been wanting to get me a discounted travel situation for a long time. You know, and, you know, you just let them take ownership of the idea. Let them think it's their idea, not you selling them something. Try honestly to see things from the other person's point of view. This is a very important piece right here. When people are talking and they're sharing, you want to try to honestly see things from that person's point of view. Because that's the only way you're going to be able to come to some kind of conclusion about whatever it is that y'all are discussing. You got to be able to honestly see it from their point of view. Principle number 9. Be sympathetic with the other person's ideas and desires. I mean, you know, as long as they're not outlandish. I mean, you know, I'm assuming that in most cases we're talking to people who pretty much have the same moral principles that we have. So, you know, I don't see us talking to, I don't see myself talking to a devil worshiper or, you know, someone that tells me, you know, I believe in Lucifer. I ain't trying to agree with them on that one. You know, now if they are, you know, saying that maybe they are a Christian or Muslim or something else, then I understand the tenets of those philosophies and religions, and so I can agree with them on their moral stance, even if I don't agree with them on their faith orientation, and we can find some common ground that we can nourish one another and support one another. But, I mean, so when it says be sympathetic to the other person's ideas and desires, that's if they're good standards and they're sympathetic to you. Number 10, appeal to the nobler motives. Always look for higher ground. Appeal to the nobler motives. What is noble? What is good? See, I believe, as far as like in the ancient Egyptians, we call them, you know, the land was called Kemet, but most people refer to them as the Egyptians. One of the things that they talked about was what was the greater good, the sum bonum, the greatest good? What is the greatest good? And that's what, to me, is the moral quest of human development and spirituality, finding that noble quest. What is the greatest good? What is good? What is evil? And how do we push towards an appeal to people to seek the greater good? The greater good. You know, I believe that people in different faiths all want the same thing, the greater good. It's just that they have a different approach to going to getting to that greater good through the philosophy or the ideology that they have embraced in terms of their faith-based religion, orientation, or outlook. But they all want the greater good, want a world of peace, a world in which people can get along, a world in which there is no evil. You know, why should there be evil? Evil is darkness. Evil is wicked. I mean, so we got to always appeal to the higher motives, the nobler motives. What is the greatest good? That's so, so important. And next, principle number 11 is dramatize your ideas. When you're dealing with people, and especially in today's world where people, you know, the movies and TV has such a tremendous impact on people, that a lot of times you got to be really dramatic in sharing your information. So, you know, and that's part of the enthusiasm, is being, you know, dramatic, getting people to see things from, you know, a perspective that you want them to see. And that's so, so important to do that. And as you do that and you dramatize your ideas and your presentation, it's the enthusiasm that catches the person. It's like people say in the sales world, you know, I don't like the phrase, but you probably heard it, set yourself on fire and people come watch you burn. You know, well, I don't like that kind of term, but I wouldn't set myself on fire, but I understand what people mean. But the most important thing is they're saying, you know, be enthusiastic. You know, dramatize what you're saying. You know, a lot of times I use hand gestures and other stuff when I'm doing a presentation or sharing information, because I want to dramatize what I'm saying to people so that the point is well taken. That's important, so that the point becomes well taken. Okay. The last thing you want to do, and this is key, is throw down a challenge. Is challenging people in a positive way. See, because you can challenge people also in a negative way, but we're talking about positive. Because on this show and also for home-based business, we talk about positive mental attitude. So how do you challenge people in a positive way? You know, well, I'm going to use an example here. Let's say you have a situation, you got a husband and a wife, and in this case, we're not talking about business, we're talking about everyday life. And the husband's laid off from work, but he's frustrated. Well, the wife can motivate him by saying, you know, honey, you know, as wise and as smart as you are, I know there's somebody out here that's going to hire you. You just got to keep looking. Just keep looking. You know, I got faith in you. I believe that, you know, I believe if you go out and you do such ABC this week, I believe you'll come back home with a job by Friday. Throw a challenge out there. Same in our business. You know, you have people on your team, and you got to find a way to challenge them positively, because if you challenge them the wrong way, they crawl up in a shell and they go into hiding. But you want to challenge them in a positive way. That's why personal development is so important in the world of business, network marketing, and just managing your own business. Personal development is key. And the people who I see suffer the most in business are the people who do not spend time on personal development. You still got to do your field development. In other words, the personal development is the mental side. You still got to go do the physical side. You still got to go prospect. You still got to hold home meetings or some meeting, a meeting somewhere where you're meeting with people to share information. Yesterday we had a great meeting here in Rocky Mount with a particular home-based business that I'm involved with, and one of the team members had a guest who's coming on board. And so that was an exciting event. It was an exciting event because the information kept people in tune for us, the training that I did. People, you know, was excited about that information. The guest was excited about the information. And the guest said, hey, you know, I'm going to sign up and do this. And so, you know, a lot of times you can be planning something to do something, and you don't never want to just go through the motions. You always, as I said, you dramatize your ideas, and you throw down challenges. I challenged the people on the team yesterday with certain kind of tasks to do as far as sending out some messages on Facebook, because social media is a great way to promote your business. That's what this radio show is. It's part of the social media platform, Blog Talk Radio. Get down, blog. So you put something on a page that you're going to talk about, and then we have the talk aspect of it. You put it out there, and Blog Talk Radio allows you to broadcast and make a podcast out of your ideas and thoughts. And so, you know, I'm really excited about this platform. I remember when I first got involved with Blog Talk Radio back in 2007, and it was because now I was looking at some things that I wanted to do, and I went in 2003. That's when I first got involved with Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, 2003. 2003, you know, and I wanted to originally be on regular, what's called terrestrial radio. But a friend of mine told me, you can pay the money to be on regular radio. I said, but you still got to build a listening audience. So I said, why don't you try the internet platform? And, you know, and at that time, Blog Talk was free. Well, now it's $39 a month to broadcast the way that I've been used to broadcasting. And so the thing is, what that allowed me to do was to be able to share information and ideas over this platform, which is another way to use social media. There's also ways to use Facebook to make it income productive, not Facebook's where it just becomes gossip productive, where people just gossiping. And I don't know what people be talking about half the time on some of the posts I see on Facebook, but I know one of the biggest things that people like to talk about on Facebook is sex. Why not business? Why not money? Why not how to improve your community? Why not how to improve your own life? Why not about health? So I challenge those health and wellness people out there, you know, hey, on your Facebook post, share some health and wellness stuff about, you know, how to lose weight, how to eat, how to, you know, the diet thing. I share as much as I can with people about how to save on their travel, how to save on their taxes. Use the social media platforms to help market and promote your business. Learn the proper ways to use social media. I will probably do a radio show on some techniques and some things I've learned about how to use Facebook. I might do a radio show, and I might not. I might just do a webcast or something, because the information that I'm going to be revealing to people, I paid to get the information. And so some things I'm not giving away for free, because we are in a business climate, a business environment. And people, I find that when people pay for certain things, they appreciate it more. I learned that lesson in an early life. I mean, in early life, from my dad. When I used to ask my dad to buy me a car, my dad said, I ain't buying you no car. He said, I'll buy you a bicycle. He said, I'll buy you a car so you can let your friends get in it and do whatever they want. He said, you buy your own. He said, you'll set your rules because it's your car. You'll appreciate it more, and you won't let people do certain things. If I buy you a car, your friends want to smoke a cigarette in it, you know, even though you don't smoke, you'll let them smoke a cigarette in the car. They burn the upholstery. You know, they burn it because you let them end up doing something that if you own the car and you look at it as your car, then you're not going to do certain things because it's yours. You paid for it. You bought it. It's your name on it. You appreciate it. You value it. And it's the same with your business life. You appreciate it. You value it. It's yours. And, you know, share it with the world. And share it in a positive way. And remember these 12 principles about how to win friends and influence people. And this is great. Remember, it starts off, the first principle is only way to get the best of an argument is to avoid it. Remember that. Avoid arguments. Show respect for the other person's opinions. Never say you're wrong. That just creates an argument. If you are wrong, admit it quickly and emphatically. Principle 4, begin in a friendly way. Always begin your conversations and dialogue with people in a friendly, positive, cheerful way. Get the other person saying yes, yes immediately. Talk about things that you both agree about so that they're saying yes to something. Now, some people say, well, you know, this is like sending a subliminal message. Yes, it is, you know, because they're saying yes. So that way when you get to parts of your presentation, when you get into the presentation, and if you've got them going along like we start our presentation with, if you had all the time and all of the money that you needed, what would you do? And people, 99 out of 100 people say travel. We say yes, and they say yes. And then we go into another aspect of our presentation. And they say yes, and we say yes. And so it makes it easier when it comes time to asking them about signing up because you already have them in a yes, yes mode. Let the other person do a great deal of talking. Always remember this when you're doing your presentation. Don't cut them off. Let them talk. You let them talk and you listen. You'll figure out what their hot button is. Whatever it is you want to share with them, let the other person feel that it's their idea, that it's their idea, you know. Let them take ownership of the idea. Try honestly to see things from the other person's point of view. Remember that. Try to see things from their point of view. Be sympathetic with the other person's ideas and desires. I mean, long as it's not something that contradicts your morals and your values, you can be sympathetic. Always appeal to the nobler motives. Dramatize your ideas. Remember, you want to have enthusiastic conversation. Dramatize what you're saying. It captures people's attention and it keeps them engaged. Last one, remember, throw down a challenge. Always find a way to challenge people in a positive way. Find a way to challenge people in a positive way. Well, that's our show for today here on Home-Based Business 101, How to Win Friends and Influence People by a book by Dale Carnegie. And we're going to be doing a new show probably starting this Wednesday. I'm going to be doing book reviews. Even though I do them sometime on Sunday, like I took the principles out of this book, reviewed the book, I took the principles from one of the chapters and went through that. But we're going to be doing book reviews, and one of the book reviews that we're going to be doing is book review called Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice by Dennis Kimbrough. We will be doing that book. We might kick that off this Wednesday or so. Just stay tuned for the post. Make sure you go to Blog Talk Radio, Home-Based Business 101, and please leave a comment when you listen to one of the shows that I do, that Miss Victoria Falk does, or Mama Jahi does. Mama Jahi did her show yesterday, Saturday. We had a mix-up in time for the Friday broadcast, and so she did her show Saturday. But please go to the Blog Talk Radio page and leave a comment. And when you leave a comment, you know, let us know, you know, what you like about our show or any ideas or suggestions for future shows. So, you know, make sure you do that. Also, I've been getting emails from some people that would like to be guests on Blog Talk Radio Home-Based Business 101. I'm reviewing some of those, and I will be getting back to those people. So we might be bringing on some special guests throughout probably before this month is out, and also moving forward. And remember to make sure that you get your Voitex, your free gift that allows you to save on your travel. And basically what we do is we give out a Voitex link. It allows you to sign up for free. Sign up for free. Yes, you heard me right. Sign up for free. It's sort of like AOL when they used to give out those discs. I remember they used to send them in the mail. They would mail them out to people. And everybody would put their little AOL disc in their computer because everybody wanted to hear, "You got mail." I mean, that's what got me into email. You know, it was AOL and them sending out those discs. You know, and you set up your AOL account for free. For free. You know, I mean, because they saw where it was going to go, just like we know where Peace with the Voitex is going to go. And right now, again, it's free. You save 85 to 90% of the time. You will beat the price of Expedia and Priceline, Travelocity, and all of the other different online travel companies in terms of promotion. So make sure that you get your Voitex. And the Voitex link that we have for this show is www.myvoitex365/MU group. That's www.myvoitex365.com. Voitex is spelled V-O-R-T-E-X. myvoitex365.com/MU group. Go there, get your free account, and anytime you want to travel, you're going to get a savings. That's how simple it works. I'll make sure that I put it on the Blog Talk Radio site so that people can know how to link into that and be able to use it. That's our free gift to you, to all of you out there who want to save on your travel. You're going somewhere, I know. If you don't do no more than rent a car and get a hotel room, you know, you might say, "Well, I'm not taking a cruise. I'm just going down the road." Well, hey, we got some great deals. We'll do a show about the Voitex also coming up in the near future. But we got a lot of great shows and information that we're going to be bringing you. And again, this is Baba Jahi, how we kick off on Sundays, the gospel of working from home. And I usually have a great topic every Sunday morning. This Sunday morning was How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. I know I talked about several different things on here, but that was the main topic, the main flow. And we want to, again, just thank everybody in the listening audience for tuning in this morning. Have a great Sunday. Enjoy your worship service. For those of you that have not left to go to church yet, or those that are going to a mosque or a synagogue or wherever you're going to praise the Creator, enjoy your day. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in to Home Based Business 101.